Good morning. Welcome to the results conference for the first quarter of Visa and its companies. We are today with Cesar Ramirez, Interim President of CEO and Vice President, Energy Transport. Carolina Otero, Vice President. Olga Patricia, Strategy Vice President, VP. And Natalia Pimeda, Planning Director of the Roads Business. My name is Diana Cardona. I'm a specialist in relations with investors. At the end of the event, we're going to have an event. We're going to have a Q&A session. During the presentation, you can ask all the questions you want through the chat box that is at the right part of your screen. Please let us know your name and the company you're representing. To start, I would like to give the mic to Cesar Ramirez, who's going to present relevant events for the quarter. Thank you, Diana. A pleasure to be with you today. And to start, I invite you to go to the next slide to look at some important events of this quarter. For the first quarter of this year, we have a total investment of 789 million pesos, most of it in Brazil, where the construction obtained in the ANEEL bidding. So as part of those projects, we have Paraguaçu, Salagoas, Ivaí, among others. The other investments were focused on advancement in projects in Peru, highlighting there two important projects, that is Coya and Llana, and in Colombia, UME projects like Seno Chirricopay, Copay Cuestecita, Lomas Sogamoso, and also some connections in these wind and solar parks. We also advance in Chile in the expansion of two substations of the network that I mentioned, Tencillo and Pan de Azúcar. Also, the construction of Rutas del Loa and improvement of roads that are going to generate new revenues and an extension of those concessions, road concessions. It's important to highlight that during this quarter, ISA contributed to Interconexión Eléctrica Panama $1.2 million for environmental impact and social impact studies, design of fields and maritime inspections for the installation of maritime cables. These confirmed our interest to advance in this project that would integrate the Andean market with the Central American market, assuring a high renewable sources connections and warranting the electricity security in the region. For the rest of the year, we're going to continue with our growth dynamics with 33 energy projection that is going to represent more than 5,600 kilometers of circuits. Also, we advance in the road business in the projects already mentioned that continue in the construction stage. The former numbers correspond to CapEx that would increase as ISA and its companies are given other bidding. So let's go to the next slide to see the growth opportunities that we observe in the region and where we are interested to participate in. When we update our portfolio for investment, we found that for this year, 2022, we have opportunities for more than $1,000 million. And 55%, it's based on the energy transmission business, where we highlight in Colombia to participate in several projects that UPME would put in bidding process. Also in Brazil, other biddings that we're going to have. One at the end of the year. There's others in Chile by the National Electricity Coordinator for substations and lines. And in Peru, one that I'd like to highlight, that is a Peru and Ecuador connection. And aligned with that strategy of being connected to that integration of the region. So in Peru, there's also some tenders for sub-transmission. We're going to provide more information in the chapter that we have in energy transmission at the end of this conference. Where we concentrate the rest 45%, ESA is starting its participation in 5G tenders in Colombia. One are in still in pre-writing agreement, and others are already in the bidding process. In Chile, we expect to participate in new concessions in the improvement of existing roads and in other tenders, among which we have one of our current concessions, which is Ruta del Bosque. This process is expected to be concluded in June this year. We also are paying attention of whatever it may happen of R&D in the region, looking not only for the business continuity, but also making sure that the profitability comply with what our shareholders expect. Let's go to the next slide, please. In ESG, we have the following advancement during the quarter. For the fifth year, ESA was acknowledged among of the company of ESG, Global Sustainability Yearbook, that measures the contribution to the environment, government, and community worldwide. Based on this agreement, the company obtained very important results in the three dimensions that are assessed. In the economic, we stood out for the corporate conduct code and environment dimension. It was acknowledged the climate change, and in the social dimension, due to the involvement with the different interest communities and groups. Sustainalytics catalogued ESA as a top company when it comes to ESG. This agency identified the 50 best ranked companies worldwide by industry, by region, analyzing more than 14,000 companies in 42 industries. Also, during the quarter, in proxy, specialized mean in energy infrastructure and projects. In deals of the year 2021, the Green Bono Interchile of ESA was acknowledged as the best financial operation of the year at the regional level and has the most important agreement at the Latin American level when it comes to energy. In this way, it's the only winning financial operation at one end is. Let us remember that this bond at the end of the year received by the prestigious international publication Latin Finance the ESG Deal of the Year Award for the best financial sustainable operation. Finally, when it comes to the environment, we're very happy to inform Puma Connection, a program that we're going to start to protect in Chile more than 20,000 hectares of the forest and to reduce 2,023 tons of CO2 by 2030. That would add to the projection to more than 7,000 tons mitigated of carbon and more than 7,000 billion hectares protected. Next slide, please. The contribution of ESA to the social cause is one of our priorities. And in that regard, through our initiative of Human Aid, All Are One, we contributed in this quarter with the vaccination of more than 19,000 through vaccination brigades in Antioquia. The total vaccinations given is 45,000. Also, We started the supporting actions to the reactivation economic and entrepreneurship with an investment estimated by 2022 of more than 6 billion Colombian pesos, with a lot of our experts at least when it comes to social impact. We want to highlight also that for 2022 we're going to have an investment close to 2 billion Colombian pesos to rural energy projects in rural areas or difficult access. Our talent has 28% of women in management positions, 23% of women in STEM careers, and this means women in science, technology, engineering, and math. Also, in our board, we have the participation of women in the 22%. In addition to this, 37% of our personnel are part of different agreements and collective unions of the organization. Finally, during this quarter, we didn't have any human rights violation events. The respect of these human rights is an ethical and moral part of our policies, activities, and in our participation in discussion environments at the local, national, and level. So let's go to the next slide. I would like to give the word to Carolina to go to the financial results explanation. Cesar, thanks a lot, and good morning to everybody. As usual, very happy to address and talk to you today. I will go into detail about the financial result of ISA and its companies for this quarter. For the first quarter of 2022, the total revenues reached 2.8 trillion Colombian pesos, and this represents a 17% higher than in the same period for 2021. As you know, revenues are divided between operating revenues and construction revenues. So let's start with the former. Operating revenues totaled 2.3 trillion Colombian pesos, 19.2% more than in the same period of the previous year. By business units, these are the factors that explain this variation. Let's start with electric power transmission. First, we have the entry into operation after the first quarter of 2021 of different projects in the geographic locations where we are present. For instance, in Brazil, we have higher revenues of 180 billion Colombian pesos, of which 76 billion are due to higher returns of the contractual assets and the RBSE receivables. 53 billion from the inflation adjustments, IPCA has IGPM, of revenues in ISA-SETEPI and its company, and 43 billion Colombian pesos from the incorporation of 2 months of PBT. Let's now look into Colombia. In Colombia, we have high revenues of 95 billion Colombian pesos due to the entry of UPMES connection services and the effect of macroeconomic variables IPP and TRM. In Peru, we have high revenues of nearly 40 billion Colombian pesos due to the exchange rate effect from dollars to pesos, favorable in the revenues at the time of consolidation. The road concession business unit, on the other hand, presented an increase in revenues of 5.4%, mainly to higher yields on financial assets, and the increase in revenues associated with the operation and maintenance of concessions and toll management in Chile, partially offsetting the termination of the Ruta del Maule concession contract. Turning to construction revenues, we have that they increased by 29 billion Colombian pesos. This is 6.9% more than in the first quarter of 2021. This variation is mainly explained by higher construction activity in Brazil, partially offset by lower construction activity in Chile, Peru, and Colombia. The latter due to the entry into operation of Ruta Costera, ceasing to generate construction revenues to start contributing to operating revenues. Let's go to the next slide, please. Before explaining the EBITDA behavior, it's necessary to inform you that as of January 1st of this year, we standardized its calculation with that of the other companies of the Ecopetrol Group. What is this change about? It's mainly due to the inclusion in the indicator of the results of the co-controlled companies. For the purposes of our reports of this year, we'll recalculate the EBITDA for each quarter of 2021 according to the new methodology to facilitate the comparison between quarters. Therefore, under this new methodology, and for the first quarter of this year, EBITDA increased by 17%, reaching 2 trillion Colombian pesos. And the EBITDA margin, excluding construction, is 83.5%. This confirms the continued operational strength of ISA and its companies. Now, when we compare this result against the budget, EBITDA is 20.7% above the projected figure. The reasons for this increase can be explained by the dynamics shown in revenues, in addition to the behavior of operating costs. Regarding the latter, for the quarter, they total 1 trillion Colombian pesos, 13.5% more than in the same period of 2021. As with the revenue, operating costs are divided between construction costs and administration, operation, and maintenance costs, which we refer as AOM. As for construction costs, we observed an increase of 11.7%, corresponding to 44 billion due to high construction activity in Brazil, partially offset by lower construction activity in Peru, Colombia, and Chile. Now, regarding the AOM, these amounted to 553 billion Colombian pesos with a growth of 14.8%. Here, what it's important to highlight is that this growth is below the increase in operating revenues, which was 19.2%. The AOM performance responded mainly to the consolidation of PBT, the entry into operation of new projects, and the increase in costs due to inflationary pressures, mainly in Brazil and Chile. All the above was partially offset by a decrease in AOM due to the termination of the Ruta del Maule concession. The next item that we'll begin to explain from now on, and that is part of EBITDA, as we mentioned at the beginning, is the results of the companies where ISA has joint controlled and significant influence, which total 149 billion Colombian pesos. This represents an increase of 8 billion with respect to the previous year's quarter, mainly due to higher profits of ATP, which is the communications tower company which ISA has a 24.7% share. Let's move on to the next slide, please. The net income for the quarter closed in 431 billion Colombian pesos, a 16% higher to the result that it was expected for the period. And this is mainly by the higher inflationary indexes of Brazil and Colombia that, as you know, are the indexers of our revenues in those countries. Now, when we compare that income with the same period last year, and as you can see in the slide, we see a decrease of 15%, but it was anticipated in our budget. So now let's go into detail to understand this graphic. As you can see, the component that contributes the most of the increase in the income is the operation revenues by projects after the first quarter of 2021, as it was already mentioned, and the behavior on the prices indices that our revenues are indexed. This again ratify the solid behavior at the operational level of Visa and its companies. That is translated in a higher EBITDA, as it was explained before. So the behavior that challenges the most are the net financial expenses, with a growth of 67% compared to 2021, and this represents 256 billion Colombian pesos that we can divide in two parts. Firstly, a higher expense of interest for 148 million for the cancellation of PBTA debt and increase in indebtedness regarding the first quarter of 2021, needed to finance the growth of Visa and its company. Added to the increase of the prices indexes, mainly the IPC in Colombia, IPCA in Brazil, that impacts the financial expenses. And has a second measure, a higher expense by the difference of exchange rate of 107 million pesos because of the inflationary pressures in Chile that are translated in a higher UF, a variable that is indexed, the debt in the road concessions in that country, and by resources that we kept in dollars in Chile for future investments in energy projects. At the end of the quarter, we close with a net margin of 15.6% and a ROE of 11.1%. These ROE, two-digit ROE, aims our objective of maximizing the value of for our shareholders. Let's go to the next slide, please, to see the behavior of the cash flow. It's important to highlight that ISA and its companies have a very robust cash position. We started the year with an initial balance of 4.7 million Colombian pesos. As you know, about 30% corresponds to restricted cash flow, mainly explained by the financiation schemes under project finance of our roads in Chile. During the quarter, we generated operating cash flow for 2.5 trillion Colombian pesos. We received 394 million because of the liquidation of different investments and a net debt disbursements. The use of these resources were mainly to pay interest to capital of the debt service for 700 million pesos, CapEx for 700 million pesos, OpEx and other operating payments, about 779 billion Colombian pesos, dividends payments external to ISA and its companies, 50 billion Colombian pesos, and tax payments at 329 billion pesos. The quarter ends with a solid position of the cash of 4.8 trillion Colombian pesos that allows us to continue financing the operation, the investments, and also to respond to the debt for the next year. Let's go to the next slide. As of March, the consolidated financial debt amounted to 27.8 trillion, with a 1% reduction compared to the end of 2021. These small variation is due to debt prepayments made by Ruta del Bosque, Ruta de la Araucanía, Internexa Chila, and IE Sur. These prepayments were offset by the following disbursements. ISSSTEFI received 180 billion from BNDES Bank for investment in projects and improvements to the electrical system. Ruta del Loa received resources for 22 billion Colombian pesos to continue financing the construction phase. At the end of the quarter, the translation effect amounted to 29 billion Colombian pesos due to the valuation of the closing rate of the peso against the Chilean unit, the Fomento UF, and the UVR, and the revaluation against the other currencies. The debt EBITDA ratio closed at 4, reflecting adequate levels to maintain a current credit rating, with room to continue leveraging our growth strategy. On the other hand, and as relevant fact of the quarter, we would like to share with you that on March 22nd of this year, ISA CTM announced a tender offer and consent solicitation of its USD 450 billion bond maturity in 2023. On April 21st, the repurchase of this international bond was successfully completed through a buyback offer, which obtained an 80% participation of the bondholders and the exercise of the early redemption option. Next, a new international corporate bond issue was made for $500 million with an interest rate of 5.2% for a term of 16 years, which was oversubscribed by 3-4 times. The international rating agencies Fitch Ratings and Moody's maintained the rating of the issuance within the investment grade range. What were the success factors that were highlighted by investors? The stable regulation of electrical market, the business model of ISA and its companies focused on a strategy based on sustainability, the company's leadership in the electricity transmission business, as well as its good corporate governance and the experience of its employees. Next slide, please. So now, once again, I would like to present Cesar again, that he was going to talk especially about the main chapter of this conference dedicated to the electric power transmission business. Cesar, I give you the floor once again. Thank you, Carolina. Well, so as it was already announced by Carolina, we're going to talk about the electric power transmission business. So in the next slide, this slide is a summary of what the electric power transmission of ISA is in the region. To have a foundation, we talk that we have a direct control of more than 48,000 kilometers of the grid. If we add what we call the participated, the ones that we share control with, that size of the grid goes to close to 67 kilometers now. So talking about transformation, when all that high voltage energy is processed in substations, only control, we are more than 104,000 MVA of transformation, but we added the non-control. This reach out to 130, almost 133,000 MVA. In regulations, you would like to have an approximated number. But to understand the magnitude in regulation matters, the annual revenues for 2021, that was 1.5 1,700 US million revenues. When you see the pie of operational revenues, transmission represents 78%, and EBITDA transmission represents 80%. So now, and on the map that you have on the right book here, what we're showing is how is our market participation in each of the countries that we are. And that participation we measure in revenues. If we look that participation in infrastructure and size, numbers may vary at a later, but to talk to these revenues, we're using that method. In Colombia, clearly, we are a very important player with 67% of the energy transmission market. In Peru, also, we have a very, very strong position with 72%. If you look in kilometers of the grid, Colombia and Peru are similar. In Peru, 12,000 kilometers, and in Colombia, more than 13,000 kilometers in transformation. So we have a higher load in Colombia. The demand in Colombia is higher than in Peru. In Chile, we have a market participation of 13%. As you can see, we are have only 2,000 kilometers, a number that we want to increase in the coming years to become a most important company there. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk a little bit about a project in Chile that is going to add a couple of kilometers there. In Brazil, because of the size, even though our operation in Brazil, comparing in infrastructure, is higher than anyone that we have in the rest of the countries. Comparing it there in revenues, once again, if we look at infrastructure, it would be a different issue, but it represents 10%. If we add the non-control, we would have 18% of the market. In Bolivia, we have a small participation. Let us remember that in Bolivia, we enter with a greenfield project of 587 kilometers. But in Bolivia, all those changes of model hasn't been possible to continue participating in these tenders. So this is a good snapshot. And also another topic, even the participation is small, is the network that interconnects all the countries of Central America. Because when we're talking about interconnection, Colombia, Panama, that connection integrates to that EPR, that is the CEPAC system in Central America. So now let's go to the next slide, please. So now, talking about project structuring, what we obtained in 2021, we have about $1.2 billion dollars investment in transmission. Of those, that amount, 53% were in tenders, ANEEL, or the ones that ProInversion in Peru does, or the regional electric coordinator in Chile. And the other 42% is what we call expansion and reinforcement. And this means that we need to increase the capacity of a line or an existing substation. And since we are the owner, in some circumstances, we are authorized to expand without getting into a bidding process. Where will you start for competing with our player? This is very important because these are revenues that play an important role when it comes to the participation of revenues, and mainly in Brazil. A lot of these expansion and reinforcements happen in Peru, Colombia and Peru also, and some in Chile. But also, it's evident here a phenomenon that we call, technically speaking, the optimization of assets. and there are assets that start ending his lifespan, so we are authorized to update those assets and make investments. So, as a summary, for this, we were a water. It's going to represent one. It's in operation, $120 million in additional revenues. On the right on the map that we what we show here are some of the examples of what were awarded. I would like to start talking about the Kimaldo-Aguirre line. Is a line of 1,400 kilometers. It's a line with direct current high voltage technology that is going to reinforce the connection between the north of Chile and the metropolitan region. So it's a very important transmission line, and that's where we participated and we obtained this project in a consortium with Transenec. That is the incumbent company, is the ease in simple terms of Chile. And CSG, that is a Chinese company with a lot of expertise and a lot of indirect current, not only in Chinese but also in other countries. Also to highlight in Brazil, besides the reinforcements and the expansion, we were awarded the first project for large-scale battery energy storage. This is going to be in the Registro substation located in the state of São Paulo. In Colombia, we had through different tenders and bidding processes a substation that is close to the Cauca River in Colombia, close to a population. So this is a very important project for possible development later of mining at that region. And that also important as well by bilateral contracts. We have been able to advance close a lot of different connection business of these new projects that are being stalled, especially in the Caribbean region. Okay, so that it's what I have to tell you about this project structuring for this slide. Let's go to the next slide. What entered into operation in this year 2021? We had equivalent in transmission $720 million. These projects are adding $90 million dollars per year of revenue from now on. Also important to highlight here, a very important connection in Colombia that we store. We complete of the line of the Ituango transmission lines. Those lines connect to a substation that is called Antioquia Substation. There's a double circuit that connects to the Cerro Matoso substation. There is also an energy transmission line that it connects until Sogamoso, and the other line that connects that substation as well to what we call the Helicon substation that is very close here in Medellin. And Helicon connects to Ancón Sur, that is in the south of the city of Medellin. That in Colombia. In Peru, two very important connections, one which is Cajabeco, and another one that is called Petroperú. In Brazil, I think we have informed in the media, we have commissioned the first substation, and that's a technological milestone, but also we have some reinforcements, Aguapi substation in Chile. In operation, we have some compensations in Pan de Azúcar, Polpaico, and an expansion of Montecillo and Pan de Azúcar, substation expansion. So all these that enter into operation It's going to bring these 90 million that we mentioned. Next slide. We can talk about the infrastructure under construction. What is in 2021? We have that pipeline, a process in the project manufacturer line, we call it like that. So there, we are ending at 2021. More than 3.5 billion dollars, that it's more than 7,133 circuit km and more than 4,000 transformation MVA. So in those projects that we have distributed in Colombia, almost 700 in Peru, in Chile, 75 million. We're making some expansions in Brazil, close to 1 billion. In this, we haven't included two projects that are important as well. One, Germán Aguirre, which is the one that we were awarded with a consortium, and the other one, the interconnection Colombia-Panama, that we are in study right now, and possibly we're going to prepare this year, the 2022 and 2023, to make more investments to advance with this project. Let's go to the next slide where we have a summary. This is the general snapshot of growth opportunity that we announced at the beginning of the conference. Just to say that in Greenfield, tender coal and transmission, we see about 4.4 billion dollars. We're going to participate to try to get that part of that package. That value, that amount of 4.4 billion dollars, that what we have prioritized, and we are selected, and we are making offers. We're preparing and getting ready to gain those tenders, to be awarded those tenders. To say it's that Brazil, because of the size, but also for its needs, that it has important growth to move electricity. It's happening what happened in Colombia, that is an important non-conventional renewable sources, so they are getting a lot of reinforcement in the grid. That is happening here in the Atlantic Coast with the Colombian case. So summarizing, while we're studying in Brazil to participate in this public bidding process, more than 3,500 million, Colombia, Peru, and Chile, our values are close to the 300 million each. So without a doubt, Brazil, it's the source of the opportunities right now to us when we talk about Greenfield. Next slide. Here we have a very fast analysis of the projects that we have in construction. This is what we see in entering into operation. This year we have a very important year because we have in Brazil, Três Lagoas, Paraguaçu, Ivaí, that it's a very important investment project in Brazil, Itaúnas, Biguaçu. It's a very interesting project that has underground submarine and airlines. So it's been a very interesting thing. And it's a good opportunity to learn for the Panama-Colombian interconnection. In Colombia, we are with Cerro Cupey. That's going to start in June. The substation in Rio in August. There's something we call smart vaults. It's a very interesting solution based on compensation, static compensation that allows to increase the capacity of the transmission lines and control flows. And this is the type of solution that in Colombia we have accomplished to analyze some of these options. And this is top-notch technology. It's what we call power electronic. So we have also Sabana Bolivar project. We talk about Wayeco is a non-conventional renewable source. In Peru, we have Coya. In Colombia, we have the Huayna-Pasi connections and Copey-Cuestecitas. And also in Peru, we talk about Guyana. So those are the two projects that have become the challenges, important challenges. Next slide, please. In this slide of regulatory agenda, of course, these are some of the topics. So these are businesses, as you know. Transmission is a highly regulated business, so it is a nose. When the tariff reviews are, when there's change of parameters, and that's where we do a very important management with the regulators, and we need to prepare. Why? Because there's a process, not only about provision of information, but also some debates and application of methodology. So these methodologies are written, are clearly defined. So what we do is to make sure that the interpretation and that the information that is used correspond to the reality and reflect, of course, the true investment costs that is used in all these countries, the same methodology to define the interests. So in Colombia, it's a little bit atypical. We have these regulatory for more than 5 years, and it's atypical in Colombia because there is a proposal of changing the methodology. That could happen. That could happen. That's not something strange. It's not something that happened periodically. But in Colombia, we have this debate about that has evolved positively. We've been in very good talks with the regulators, and we expect to have a first project, not first project, the project to have an outcome, a final project. We're gonna get that hopefully this semester with all these processes. It could actually be affirmed in the second semester. And we estimate that that's the way we've been planning based on the resolution proposals, the application of these new changes will be starting in 2024. But if there is a delay in the publication and of that, it could take a little bit more time, that application. And in Colombia, it's important because that's very important based on the revenue scenario. In Brazil, is the tariff, transmission tariff revision, just revised, different to Colombia. That could be changed to the methodology. Also in Colombia, there's a lot of debate information to take the real data or closest to the reality. And in Brazil, it's important there. And after this revision, is going to apply to 80% of the revenues. But we have one. We expect that this makes the corresponding adjustments to take into considerations factors, macroeconomic factors, as well as microeconomic factors based on costs and others. In Chile, there is a tariff transmission revision. Here, we need to remember that in Chile, most of our revenues are linked to greenfield projects that are obtained in public tenders. So they already have their own dynamic, and only one part that I was allocated has a reinforcement that is applied the methodology of existing assets, and that's why it has a revision, but it's only for the case of Chile. So we have a very low revenues. It's not the case of Transelec, but Transelec is very similar to ISA, and it has existing assets that started before the big transformation of the energy sector happened in the region. Let us remember this model is the model implemented in the 90s in these countries, where Chile was a pioneer in parallel with an English model. So this model applied in Chile. It's the same that was applied in the rest of the countries, and it's very similar to the English model. Okay, so we're about to finish. This final slide, we have in what is the outlook for 2022? We mentioned we structuring already opportunities to be in those bidding processes, more than $4.4 million in projects. We're going to put into service projects, commission projects worth $1.2 billion. That it's 300-600 circuit km, 5,500 MVA, with annual revenues of $132 million. And to end up this year, having about 52,000 circuit kilometers and about 110,000 MVA. And as a foundation, we estimate that demand that is served to our grid. We're talking about 460 feet of bytes year. So I think that's what I wanted to tell you, to let you know where we are at the transmission level and why this business. It's core and it's important for ESA when it comes to regional coverage. When we look at the footprint of ESA in the region, is an integration concept that someday will allows us to have that dream of negotiate energy produced in Brazil to deliver probably in Mexico. That's what I wanted to share with you. Thanks a lot for your attention. Thanks a lot, Cesar. Now we're going to be to the Q&A session. We would like to start with one, by Mauricio Castagna, one of our shareholders, and he asks, in the former conference, we were talking about the work with Ecopetrol about synergies. Could you update us about the advancement in this regard? I would like to maybe Patricia could answer this better. Go, Patricia. Sure, no problem. Yeah, we told you in the former presentation part of the synergy for that at that moment. There's a lot of things that we can mention when it comes to the advancement. The integration of ESA to the Ecopetrol Group has brought very interesting results in the generation of value, and we want to continue in the path of identification of capture of those synergies. I would highlight some of those elements. In the first group of synergies that happen has of the knowledge and the expertise that ESA has in the administration of electric infrastructure, and the idea is to capitalize on the fact that Ecopetrol is a huge energy consumer. I'm going to mention three examples. Number one, the optimization of the infrastructure component in the main oil production fields of Ecopetrol to reduce the deferred production based on electric failures. In this case, we hope to reduce about 30 or 40% those failures. The second example is to promote the interconnection of Ecopetrol to the national interconnection system and to promote ESA as an efficient operator of those net and grids. Currently, we have in evaluation process a pipeline of projects for the 2022 that is about $40 million in investments, and we have a pipeline of 11 projects in addition for the 2023. And the third example in this big group is the jointly assessment of a storage group equivalent to more than 50 megawatts of capability. These provide capability in the plant between Cetep and Brazil. This second big group of synergies has to do with opportunities in the procurement front. Three examples here. Number one is the reduction in the international logistics transportation to about 30% for ESA. Two, a reduction in maintenance costs of IT applications and licenses of IT in about 8%. And third, we continue maturing opportunities that we hope that are going to have an impact in purchase of electronic components and other goods and services. The third big group of synergies that we mentioned in the former presentation is connected with the environmental and social management front. In this case, we are working together, and we hope that it's going to allow us to duplicate accumulated compensation defined for the Jaguar project. Also, we expect to be able to increase between a 25 and a 30% the trees that we planned to plant. The fourth group of synergies is the linear infrastructure project, which is a jointly work between Senet of the Cooperative Group and ESA, in which we continue working to generate benefits regarding to the integrity management, administration of assets, as well as the pre-administration that want to favorably impact the estimate of ESA for the planning of projects. And the last group of synergies, and this is very interesting, it's linked with financial issues. In these, we working to have excellence of and the optimization about 30 basic points for the companies that we have in Colombia. Optimization in taxes and other matters. With this, my answer regarding to synergies. However, I would like to close with a very important thing, and is that at a strategic level, we maintain the joint efforts to identify and weight opportunities in new energy business, as well as the definition of mechanisms that allows us to consolidate that goal that we have by 2030 of to enter to the United States in 2023. Very clear and a very good detail. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Cesar. We have two questions from Andrew McCarthy from Chevicore Capital. First, he's asking if taking into account that was higher in 2022, the revenues are going to increase the guidance of the net for the 2022. And second, in which level we are projecting the debt over EBITDA by 2022, if we continue having space to continue participating in the new business where we have opportunities. Carolina, please. Thanks a lot, Cesar. Thanks a lot, Andrew. Thanks a lot for your question. Very good questions. I'm going to answer both of them. Let's start with the guidance. Let us remember that at the end of the year, we mentioned that we were expecting to have a growth between 7 and 11% of our 2021 income. So that's the first quarter. So it's kind of early to move from that guidance. But the good news that I could give you is that if everything continues the way we are observing and projecting, we expect by for the second quarter to refresh that guidance and give you a very positive answer. The second question regarding to the debt of the EBITDA, when we project as we do it with the comprise CapEx, the investments that we executed, in this moment we will close levels below what we have today, which is the 4% that we are reducing today. And this gives us enough space to observe absorb the business opportunities that we are assessing with a committee of new businesses, and there are many. Those will be my two questions, my two answers to the questions. Thanks a lot. Thank you, Carolina. There's another question from Andres Duarte from Coffee Colombiana. I would like to know if the control of Ecopetrol ISA is going to continue applying to all the calls that ISA has interest in right now. Well, look, I think that it's important to be clear that the 2030 strategy that ISA has defined and the why we are working on regarding to all our investment plan, all the initiatives, all the goals, it's valid even with the entry of Ecopetrol. As a matter of fact, Ecopetrol has publicly said that likes ISA's strategy, supports ISA's strategy, and he has suggested that we even be a little bit more ambitious in those goals. This means that we continue with the same dynamics of looking for different opportunities, not only greenfield opportunities, but also acquisitions in the region, not only in transmission, where we have a lot of participation, but also in roads. So, for a short answer, is that we continue with the same dynamics, looking for opportunities in the countries, analyzing our new geographies, not only in Colombia, but also in the countries where we are present. I hope I have answered properly to your question. Thank you, Cesar. A question from Diego Huitrago from Bancolombia. He thanks us for the presentation and especially for the special energy transmission chapter that we mentioned. He would like to know if we could tell, besides the adjustment of the EBITDA methodology, there's going to be more adjustment in the accounting level that is going to impact the financial statements to homologate practices with Ecopetrol. Hello, Diego. Our pleasure as usual. Thanks a lot for your question. As we anticipated, we just integrated with Ecopetrol. No, we do not expect more changes regarding to these homologation of the methodologies. Okay. We're running out of time of this conference. Thanks a lot to all the parties involved. Thanks for your interest in ISA, and we expect you to be in former meetings.